Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We have talked about ways to market yourself in a niche or a niche manner for a long time. And we've gotten a lot of resistance from financial services professionals saying, guys, it's too limiting. I'm going to exclude so many people. Our guest today not only has niched her practice out, but also embodies what her niche is. And we're so excited to be able to talk to somebody who walks the walk and builds a successful business. It's Kim Griego-Kyle. She is the president of Horizons Sustainable Financial Services. She has been in the sustainable investing industry for over 20 years. She is a woman majority-owned business. She lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, let's talk about, so for our listeners who don't really fully understand what a sustainable financial services SRI is, socially responsible investing, sustainable investing, can you give us a brief definition?
Yes. We look at sustainable investing as a three-legged stool. So when we're working with clients or finding out from them what's important to them, screening out things they don't want to have in their portfolios, environmental polluters, for example, screening in companies that they do want to support, companies that support women and minorities, tons of issues around that. The second leg of the stool is shareholder advocacy. Shareholder advocacy is very important. It's really about how we see change happen in this industry. Filing a resolution with a company, asking them to have a completely different practice in their business, do something better, do something healthier for the environment, for the world. There's a lot of ways we can use shareholder advocacy to make substantive change. And then the third leg of that stool is what we call community investing. So we're working on ways to support local communities, businesses, nonprofits. This also extends internationally, you know, to support rebuilding after natural disasters, Puerto Rico, for example, mm-hmm. You know, low-income housing. Those are what we consider a lot of community investment options. So we include all three of those components in all of our client investments and portfolios.
How do you pull that out of a client? I mean, this is a very different conversation than just a normal discovery. Is that correct?
True. We do the traditional financial questions, but then we have a very specific questionnaire to help clients sort of ferret out what is important to them. Most people know what's important to them.
Sure.
It's in their value system. So it's easy for them to say, these are the things that I want to support or exclude. You know, it's a part of their fabric of their life. So they already know. So using the questionnaire, asking a few questions, we can help tailor their portfolios to their personal values.
Let's talk about that values conversation, because again, in my introduction, I mean, you walk the walk here. When you say values, I think that there could be some gray area there, because we're talking about, it's Horizons Sustainable Financial Services, but we're talking about socially responsible investing. If I ask you a couple of categories, would you say yes or no if these would apply to your filter when you're picking a company? Is that fair? Can I just ask you a couple of categories?
Sure.
Okay. So how about religious?
Yes. There are ways to screen for religious values. Absolutely.
Pretty much any religious values.
Yes. There's even an Islamic mutual fund.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. How about social justice?
Social justice is a big issue. It really encompasses so many of the pieces that we're already looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's looking at private prisons, mm-hmm. and how people are treated, to the environmental issues, it's also a social justice issue, because water is a human right.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things can be laid on that table of social justice. Pretty much everything can be there.
LGBT stuff.
Absolutely. And that's come a long ways in the last 20 years or so since I've been doing this, because when we first started looking at providing simple things like health insurance, mm-hmm. for domestic partners before marriage equality was fully on the table. There were a lot of companies that were very supportive and a lot of companies that had to be pushed in that direction. So when you get these big corporations starting to provide benefits for LGBTQ couples, then you start seeing the fabric of life change. It's a big piece.
Now, you played a part in that, and I really, if you don't mind, do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Sure, I'm happy to, because this was one of the most, I think, important pieces of work that I've ever done. And so my wife, Rose Griego, and I were lead plaintiffs in the ACLU lawsuit here in New Mexico to get marriage equality in the state. So this is before it was nationally available. That for us was really a pivotal moment in our life, realizing that literally anyone can make a difference. So when you put yourself out there and say, this is important to me and this is what I want, not just for me, but for millions of other people, things happen. And, you know, it was really an amazing experience to participate in that with the other plaintiff couples and just bring about societal change, essentially. It was really, really amazing.
So as you're listening to this, listeners, when Kim is talking about pushing companies to make a change, that is the level that she went personally to make a change. And that's a very, very few people do that. Wonderfully commendable. And when it comes to the values discussion and somebody does say, so, okay, yeah, I'm going to rewind. How about this? I come in, right? And I've got a portfolio and we start having this values discussion. Do you then look at my portfolio and, you know, almost like a teacher with a red pen? Well, you sure don't want this. And, you know, do you do that sort of stuff?
We do on occasion, yes, because sometimes people want that feedback. If they say, this is important to me, here's a very good example that's been very common over the last 5 years, screening out fossil fuels for portfolios. Mm. So people own mutual funds, a lot of people own mutual funds, and they don't realize what is in that fund. So unless you read that supplement that comes out twice a year that tells you what's in that fund at that moment, you don't know. Mm-hmm. So people will think, I probably am not really supporting fossil fuels because, you know, I'm trying to be careful with that. I drive a Prius or other type of environmentally friendly car. But then if they really look deep into their mutual fund, they're going to have all kinds of fossil fuel issues in there. And we're not just talking about oil. We're talking about natural gas and fracking, coal exploration and extraction, transportation of coal, you know, on the train system, which is the primary way that it happens in this country. So, you know, we have to take all of those pieces into account when we're looking at a portfolio. So people will say, well, I don't want to be in fossil fuels, but I'm like, well, you own these pipelines. They're transporting natural gas and oil. Do you realize that? Nope, didn't realize that. So so yeah, you know, and you can do that with just about any issue. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes it's an eye opener to people. And they think, well, I think I have a pretty good portfolio, but then you're like, well, you know, these are the things that this company is doing that you may not be aware of, and these are the shareholder resolutions that we filed with these companies to try to get them to do better. There is no perfect company. And I have to emphasize that over and over again with clients. And, you know, because you can't say, well, these are the five perfect companies, so I'm going to invest only in those. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Every company has issues in some area, which is where the shareholder resolution piece comes. Because you find a company that's pretty good in most of the areas that you like or most people like, but maybe they have a terrible recycling program with their old computers, for example. You know, HP's come a long way in, you know, creating better recycling of old computers, and a lot of that's been pushing from the sustainable investment world. So many ways to look at the issues.
When I'm going to play devil's advocate, if you don't mind, and I'm going to preface it by telling a quick story. An advisor I was working with, we started working with him. My company started working with him to change his client communication pieces. And so part of that was a lot of what you're talking about, you know, having a different discussion on the front end, especially about values. And this woman who came to the firm had been a widow for a while. and they were touting their returns, right? Which, of course, advisors never do. And right. And when she asked if she could see what was in the portfolio, one of the first largest holdings was a tobacco company. And the tobacco, and her husband died of lung cancer. And she was so angry. And of course, then they immediately said, look, hey, this is why you're here. We're having different conversations. But help us understand. I mean, so our audience is financial services professionals. You know, people, the S&P is up, what, 300%, right? So people are looking for these unbelievable, literally insane levels of return. How are you able to have that conversation and still be SRI?
We tell clients, when you screen things out, there's always the possibility it will affect your return.
Okay.
However, there is a social index that mirrors the S&P 500. Hmm. It's called the MSCI KLD Social 400 Index. Got a ridiculous name, right? It's been bought by a few different people, so everybody adds something onto it, right? So this index has been around for more than 25 years. And again, it mirrors the S&P 500. Hmm. So what they've done is they've taken the most common social screens, screened things out, put a few things back in so they have the same asset mix, small, medium, large cap stocks that the S&P 500 does, but this is only 400 stocks.
Okay.
Over this 25 years, performance has been almost equal.
Wow.
Between the two indexes. So some years the social index does a little better, other years the traditional S&P does a little better. But we can tell people, if we're selecting the appropriate investments for you, your performance probably will not suffer. We don't guarantee that, but you know,
right.
We do tell them that we do have this wonderful benchmark that says you can invest socially responsibly, sustainably, and most likely not have it affect your performance long term. And on that piece of, yes, everybody wants big returns because we've had this 9-year mm-hmm. bull market run. You know, every conversation I've had for the last year and a half with clients is it will come to an end at some point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have some negative returns. You must be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at that always. And not just when you have a long bull market run, it's always a possibility to have a negative year. 2008 was not that far away from where we are now. So, you know, it's always possible.
And Kim, I for some reason believe that, it's actually a behavioral economic term. It's recency bias, right? They
yes.
look at the last rate of return, or, you know, for over the last almost 10 years now. And they're like, right. Well, that was so long ago. But those of us who lived through it, it sure still stinks. And how do you talk about, it's got to be more than just numerical returns. When you're investing in a socially responsible manner, isn't there another kind of return that you get?
Absolutely. I think there's a big social return, especially when you see companies reacting to the filing of shareholder resolutions and saying, oh, wait a minute, you know, let's pull this resolution off and we'll come to the table and discuss how we can do this better, do this differently, rather than sending it to a shareholder vote. So we see a lot of companies taking that step forward, which is huge. You didn't see that 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of companies are very amenable to changing business practices. So there's a big social return in that. When you see, this is an old example, but I'm thinking this was like more than 15 years ago. There was a resolution filed with Home Depot to ask them to stop selling old growth lumber. Very, very important to especially the forests in the Pacific Northwest, which mm-hmm. is where I grew up, not doing clear cutting, not selling these old growth pieces of timber. And Home Depot said, yeah, you're right. This is important. And so they literally stopped selling any lumber products in their stores that came from old growth forests.
Hmm.
So there's a big social return on that. And it doesn't matter if it's that environmental piece, if it's making sure you're not destroying indigenous lands down in Mexico when you build a new facility. There's a lot of pieces that can be laid on that lap of social return. And I think that's what makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we have a year where the market's negative mm-hmm. and returns are negative, then clients are like, you know, it's okay because I'm making change mm-hmm. without doing a lot, which for some people is a big deal.
Yeah.
So they don't have to step outside their comfort zone like I did with the you know, participating in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. They can say, this is one way for me to participate in changing the fabric of society.
This is a marketing podcast. And I said at the beginning that you walk the walk, you talk the talk, you've even put yourself out there in even a dangerous manner. I mean, being a plaintiff in a case like that, I know all over the country there's massive social backlash and people saying really bad things. Let's bring this back to, you run a business. Obviously, you have this moral and ethical foundation. How do you balance success with your morals and values?
Success is always a big question, right? Like, what does success mean? And the thing I like about what makes me feel successful is that I'm still, after 20 years, passionate about the work that I do. Mm. And working with clients and, you know, having them feel successful in what they're doing with their money. So, but it also isn't all about work. As you said, mm-hmm. living my life in a way that is also sustainable, volunteering in my community, doing things that I can do, you know, growing an organic garden, you know, dealing with things in what I consider to be aligned with my personal values, mm-hmm. and being able to do that in both my business life and my personal life makes me feel very successful.
And so, when we were preparing for the podcast, Kim, you had said that even some of the personal things that you're doing, I mean, you've been president of the Santa Fe Green Chamber of Commerce, you know, you're involved in a whole bunch of Earthworks Institute, all of these different pieces. Have those things that you believe in so strongly and that strongly enough, you obviously give your time, have those been able to translate into helping your business grow?
I think in a marketing perspective, it does. Absolutely. I've met people over the years that I may not have come in contact with by participating in these nonprofit organizations and doing the things that for me feel good and important. And so, yes, you absolutely do meet people. People have hired me over the years because they've known me in those capacities. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly given me the opportunity to promote my business by sponsorships and things like that, which we do a lot of. Mm-hmm. So those are all what I consider easy marketing tools, because you are participating in activities that are with like-minded people, and people like to work mm-hmm. with like-minded people.
They also
feel comfortable
like,
with them.
Well, they also, and you can just hear it in your voice too, Kim. And I love that since I'm listening to your voice here, I can tell that when you're talking about these things, there's a fire there. And it's a lot of advisors, we believe, from a marketing perspective, have to get out of their heads and they have to go to their heart and really see where their heart is guiding them. And that is touchy-feely. And I'm very, very comfortable with saying that, you know, hey, you have to wake up and realize that people make more decisions based off what's happening, you know, in their heart than they do in their head. And in this situation with SRI, with socially responsible investing, that you're doing both. I mean, what a great marketing piece. And I'm not trying to, you know, just, well, I mean, the podcast is about marketing, so I do want to talk about marketing, but you're doing both. It's like a double home run, which of course doesn't exist, but it does, right?
Right. It's true. You know, when I have this inordinate number of clients who will give me a hug mm-hmm. on the way out the door. Mm. Not a lot of financial advisors, I'm sure, can say that. So, mm-hmm. you know, and to me, that shows a deep level of trust mm-hmm. that those clients have for me. And that feels very successful, because, you know, if they feel close enough to me that they want to give me a hug when they leave mm-hmm. after our review or opening an account or whatever it is, you know, to me, I think that's amazing. And I think that is part of the process of feeling and being so passionate about what I do mm-hmm. that people connect with that.
What would you say to an advisor who's listening to this right now and they're thinking to themselves, I don't have anything that I'm that passionate about? Like, I'm listening to Kim right now and, man, I wish I had that. I wish I had that fire in my belly. What advice would you give to your fellow community of financial services professionals to help stoke that flame or even help them find that?
I think everyone has that somewhere. And sometimes it just takes a little time to really contemplate and think about it. So whether your passion is to work with people who've lost their spouses and have never dealt with the financial issues in their lives before and helping them through that transition, or working with the group of people we call millennials who are getting into investing and have a completely different mindset around it. There are people who are very passionate about that. Maybe your passion is, you know, you think, oh, I want to help women be more financially secure. You can do that in your practice. You just have to look at, if you look at the book of business you have, you tend to attract the people who are going to fit your passion. So I think if people really look at that, they're going to see a pattern. Maybe I work really well with elderly people. Maybe I work really well with millennials, whatever that is. You know, oh, wow, 30% of my clients are millennials. Okay, let's focus on that area. So, you know, I think there's ways to look at what you're already doing and figure out, okay, this actually is fascinating to me. It's a passion. It's something I can do, and it's an area I can help with. Then you get more excited about it, and then you attract more like clients. So I just think that's how it works.
We have a podcasting client of ours who uses Top Advisor Marketing. It's podcasting and social media service. And when we first started working with him, Kim, he was very dry, very stoic, very, very, very successful advisor from a bottom line standpoint. And he started to run out of podcast topics. And so we started asking him a lot of the questions that I know you ask your clients and prospects. And the last three podcasts that he's done, he's had guests on, and they've all been nonprofits that when he stopped to listen to himself, he realized, one, they were clients, which, you know, again, so many of us get so bogged down in our day to day that we forget to, you know, kind of look at our book like a tourist looks at your town. And right. He did one with a nonprofit for a young gentleman who passed away very, very, very young. And my team... So we have a whole process of what we do with the podcast. And there's three people who listen to each podcast before they go live. And I got a message from each of them saying 10 minutes into the podcast, they were crying like happy crying, like, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. Oh, my God, that's so sad. Oh, my God. And this the podcast that he did is hands down the most listened to podcast he's ever done. Because he got out of his head and he went into his heart. And I can't thank you enough personally, just for who I am as a human being, Kim, for doing everything that you've done. Thank you for allowing me to pepper you with business, questions about how you've used this to continue to grow your business and balance it well so that you feel successful and still are successful in doing things that are, you know, trying to make the world a better place. The very few of us can wake up in the morning and say, you know, hey, I made the world a better place today. And so I personally and my family and children want to thank you for working hard to help make the world that they're going to inherit a better place. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience? Is there anything that our audience could use you for? Maybe, I guess I don't really know how to ask the question, but yeah, just take it from there and see if that works.
Sure. I think there's two things. You know, one, I love speaking to people. Hmm. So talking about this area of investing and how it's my passion, I think it's fun for me. Mm-hmm. Other people seem to enjoy it because I'm having a good time. So I do love to speak about it. The other thing that we are doing in our business at the moment is we are creating a way for what we call non-SRI advisors, your traditional investment advisor, mm-hmm. to be able to hire us as a third-party money manager.
Great.
For their clients who want sustainable investing, but they don't know how to do it or where to start. So we've created this process for other advisors to keep their clients, mm-hmm. provide them with sustainable portfolios, but not have to have that breadth of knowledge that we already have after 20 plus years in the business. Mm-hmm. So we're putting that out there for folks to hire us to do that piece.
What
they
would
keep the client, we do the management. Clients are happy because they're getting sustainable investments. So,
what would be the best way for them to find out more about that?
Well, our website has a link for advisors and for interested clients, and the website is horizonssfs.com. That's Horizons Sustainable Financial Services, the initials for that, .com. Or they can call us 505-982-9661. Or 877-321-3236. there's always email, info@horizonssfs.com.
And we will make sure that we put all of those links and phone numbers into the show notes. Kim, thank you so much for being on the show today. And again, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
If you even have an inkling inside of you that doing something like this, socially responsible investing, sustainable investing, is something you want to bring into your practice, please just have a conversation with Kim. Find out the questions she asks, because I think what you're going to find out, especially from a marketing and a referral standpoint, it changes the way that people are going to refer business to you, because the conversation is fundamentally different. It's not rate of returns. It's not risk management. It's not life insurance products. I mean, yes, all of those probably play a part. It's the feeling that what you're doing with your retirement, with your savings, with your hard-earned money is truly making a difference that is in line with who you are as a human being. So please go ahead and check out Kim. And for everybody here at Top Advisor Marketing, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please make sure that you take a moment to hit the subscribe now button below. That's why, you know, anytime we have somebody like Kim on the podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And if you know another financial services professional who would love to learn more about socially responsible investing and a way that they can bring it into their practice, please make sure that you share the podcast by clicking that share now button below. For Kim and everybody at Horizon Sustainable Financial Services, this is Matt Haller. And for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.